Well, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, which is easy to find because it's the fifth one from the very beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of what's called the Pentateuch. Those are the five books written by Moses. And I'm going to be reading from the 18th chapter here in just a moment. Well, Halloween has come and gone. Finally, praise God. I want to talk with you a little bit about that this morning. Not about dressing up your kids in nice, cute outfits and getting candy. That's not what this is about. Because I have fond memories of that growing up. I think I was it late 60s, I guess I would have been doing this 5,000 years ago. But in the late 60s, I mean, when we trick-or-treated, when it was dusk, we went out by ourselves in packs of kids. You remember all this. And you would be out until it was pitch black out and there was not one porch light on in the entire neighborhood. The key that we tried to do is we tried to have an outfit or a costume that we could change subtly through the course of the evening so that you could maybe go back to the same places and get more candy without them recognizing you. I know, that's a confession. I apologize for that. Yeah, you're laughing like you never did that. Come on. Huh? No, I don't believe that for a second. Because it was all about the candy. We used to take the little bags, and then we went to pillowcases. Pillowcases are awesome to go get candy in. Those were good ones. Come back, dump it, go out again. Our dentist loved us. He just absolutely loved us. So I'm not talking about getting candy and about dressing up your kids in cute costumes. That's not what this is about. But there is something that I think we do need to be aware of, because it's about the plans of the enemy and what he wants to do. And we don't focus on Satan. That's not what our focus is. Our focus is on God and on his love for us. Our focus is on what Jesus Christ did for us. But you have to know what the plans are, because we are in a battle. Actually, Paul says we're in a war. This is a spiritual war. It's not war against people, but it's warring in the spirit. And what is being fought for is our very souls, our lives, our families. That's what's on the line in this spiritual battle. So we have to know what it is that the enemy is doing. Halloween has become second only to Christmas for most money spent that time of year. Only Christmas, you spend more. Not Mother's Day, not Valentine's Day, things about love, but Halloween. We spend more money, more activities are involved with this time of year, only than Christmas. But here's what I'm concerned about, and then I want to read from Deuteronomy. We need to have an understanding that this time of year, if we're not aware of what it is about, becomes an inroad into our lives by innocently accepting things that are not innocent at all, that are very dangerous. And they are exacerbated this time of year. They're highlighted. They're increased this time of year. And I want to look at Deuteronomy quickly before I go on. That's the 18th chapter. Is that what I said? 18, starting in the 9th verse, 9 to 13. Now, Deuteronomy is sometimes a tough book, a little bit, because it talks a lot about laws. It talks a lot about how God set things up for the children of Israel. And part of the difficulty of this is it's easy to take this whole thing, lump it in, and say, look, this doesn't apply to us today. It does. It does apply to us today. The laws that God put in place for the Israelites are as relevant for our lives today as they were for them. And here's what I mean. This is what it says. This is in the 9th verse, 18th chapter, Deuteronomy. Is that where I am? Okay, that's where we are. All right. It says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to inhale. Let me set this down here so I can actually see this. All right, there we go. Do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his sons or daughters in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of those detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. And what this is referring to is the Canaanite people. That is where the children of Israel were encamped at these times. They were the Canaanites, a number of other groups, but the Canaanites in particular were a group of people that practiced all types of different occultic worship, what we would call occultic. And some of it involved child sacrifice. A lot of it involved divination and certainly sorcery and consulting the dead and all of those kinds of things. And all God was simply saying to them was, look, don't have anything to do with that. Nothing. And so here's what Satan does. Satan knows that if he were to bring to us, and you've heard me say this before, if he were to bring to us things that were obvious, as Christians, we would say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. If we were to have somebody come into our church and say, listen, I want to talk to the dead ancestors of all of you and tell you what they're saying, obviously we would not allow that to happen here. Of course not. And yet Satan is still able to get these things into our lives in very subtle ways that unless we're aware of them, we can, even inadvertently, open the door for all kinds of evil to be a part of our lives. And that can very well be the reason why so many people are bound in places that they don't know how they can't get out of it. It could be physical sickness. It could be emotional distress. It could be things going on in your relationships. And you keep saying, I don't understand why I can't get rid of this. Why is it? I pray, I ask God. Have you examined areas of your life in ways that you say, maybe the enemy has found an inroad into me? And he uses this time of year to do that a lot. And I want you to understand what I'm talking about. Let me give you a little bit of a history lesson first. You know I love history. I love telling you why things are the way that they are, how they came about. Some of this may be familiar information for you, and some of it may not. The beginning of this time of year, late October, early November, has its the beginnings and the origins of it, they're not quite sure. There's always a lot of different things because it has been so long of a time period. This is an ancient and an old time of recognition in different cultures. Here's how most of it started. It may surprise you to learn that the church was very much a part of recognizing this time of year. In the early days of the church, and I'm talking about even in the first hundred or so years after Jesus left, as the church was developing and growing, the people began to believe that it was very important to not only recognize the birth of the people that helped to found the church, and we're talking about apostles, we're talking about some of the very first people in the first couple of centuries, but they not only wanted to recognize their day of birth, they also wanted to recognize their day of death, to be able to honor them at that time, a period of life that had come to a close. And so even today, many churches, old ancient churches, are built over the supposed graves of many of these people. Probably the most famous one would be St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City in Rome. That structure is supposed to have been built over the resting place of Peter, who the Catholics consider to be the first pope. Did you know that? Catholics consider Peter, the Apostle Peter, to be the first pope. That's the one that they point to. So they built this huge shrine, and that's become Vatican City. James, the son of Zebedee, again, one of the disciples, there's a beautiful church that is built over his supposed resting place. John, who was the last of the disciples to die, was supposedly buried in the town of Ephesus, which is now Turkey. That is where Turkey is today. Even Thomas, whose bones were supposedly moved to a little town in Italy, which I think is a great thing, being an Italian. It's nice to have somebody of the church there. A little town called Ortano, Italy. There's a beautiful basilica built right over that. So this was very common, that they would build these churches over these graves. But as more and more men and women were dying and even being martyred, the church decided we need to just set aside one day that we can honor these men and women. And so they did that. May 13th was the day that the church originally set aside for them to honor these people that had died. But then the Roman Catholic Church comes in, and around 835, under Pope Gregory IV, they moved the date to November the 1st. And the day became known as All Saints' Day. That's where that comes from. All Saints' Day, November the 1st. But there were other days around it that they wanted to have. Certainly after they had on November the 2nd, there was another day that they had proclaimed there. And then the day before was a day that they called All Hallows' Eve. That's October the 31st. Now, the word hallow is a word that we use in church. Think of the Lord's Prayer. What does Jesus say? Hallowed be thy name. To hallow means to make reverent or to honor or to glorify. And so the day before November 1st became a day to honor those people, to continue to honor them, to remember their deaths. You say, well, Pastor Dave, that doesn't sound so bad. That's okay, isn't it? Talking about honoring these people and the lives and the way that they committed themselves to God. And the church continued to have this time of year as being very important. Some of you may know that Martin Luther, on October the 31st in 1517, that was the day that he nailed the 95 Theses to the door in Wittenberg, beginning the whole Reformation, the break from the Catholic Church. And some of the things Martin Luther wrote were wonderful, saying that it's only through the grace and mercy of the death of Jesus Christ that we're saved, not because of what we do. He said, you know, you can't be absolved of your sins because you make a financial donation to the church. It's because of God's mercy. 1517, these things are being said, not 3 months ago. But it sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's still things that we need to understand today. Martin Luther went on to say, you know, and we need to live differently than everybody else if we believe who God is and who Jesus Christ is. Important things. October the 31st. But there's another side to this coin. And this is the side that we need to be aware of in the church. That we need to understand that this is present as a part of what takes place this time of year. 2,500 years ago, in Great Britain and Germany, the ruling culture were the Celtics, the Celtic nation. And the Celts were polytheistic, and that just simply means they worshipped many gods. And any time in the Bible or in the scripture you hear about nations that are polytheistic, it means that all other types of worship are brought in. Spirit worship. All kinds of occultic practices are brought in. And so the Celtic nation, their New Year day is November the 1st. It's not January 1st, it's November 1st. And what they believed took place during that time was that all of the people who had died the year before, their souls were going to be taken to their final resting place by their god, Sondheim. And this god that they worshipped would come and would gather those souls, and so they believed that on that last day, October 31st, the spirit world and the natural world were at their closest points, and they'd be able to communicate with their lost loved ones, be able to say goodbye. And so that's taking place through the centuries, and that belief, and it's coming in conflict and in contact with the things of the church, and it's beginning to get muddled together. Add to that to the fact that there's an event called the Festival of the Dead that is celebrated this time of year. It has its history in Asian roots, and in the Asian nations, ancestral worship is practiced. There's elements of Confucianism, there's elements of Buddhism all mixed in. And so we have this huge conflagration of all of these different beliefs. And so what do we think? How do we deal with this? What is the truth? What is it that's going on this time of year? And as we consider that, we look at the fact that if we're looking for the things of God, we know that what Satan wants to do is to try to bring confusion into that time. He wants to try to bring us to the place where we don't know what it is that we're doing, and even more than that, he wants to bring us to the place where we inadvertently allow things to come into our lives that we would no way want to be a part of us. Not because we're not comfortable with it, not because of any of those things, but because God said, don't have anything to do with those. And in Deuteronomy 18, God lists through Moses a whole list of those things. And how many of those things are so prevalent today? Fortune telling, mediums, television, movies. We are saturated with it. And we wonder why our children, especially, are having such a hard time with knowing the things of God. We wonder why they're saying things and wanting to participate in dressing certain ways and listening to particular kinds of music, wanting to go to movies, looking at these different television shows, reading these books about all of these different occult things. It's because our culture is saturating their lives with this, and we in the church have got to know how to stand against them and why. Not just to say, don't do that. How many of your kids respond really well to that immediately? Even little ones. It's just got to have six reasons why. So this is not about trying to convince somebody. It's about showing them what is the truth according to the Word of God. Let me add one more element to this. Because October the 31st is also one of the high days, the three high days in Satanism. Top three. Their first one is your birthday. Because Satanists actually believe that you are the single greatest element in all of existence, that the human element of who I am. There's nothing greater than me to a Satanist. So they celebrate the birthday. They have another day called Walpurgisnacht. Yes, that is German. It's a German time where they celebrate the coming together of witches for the things that they do. And then there's Halloween. And again, their belief is that the worlds are coming so close together, the spirit and the physical world, so that we can have contact, that we can speak with them, that they can speak to us, that they can give us guidance. And my friends, can I tell you this morning that none of those things are true? None of those things are of God. Now you say, Pastor Dave, do you believe in spirit world, the spirit world? Of course I do. The Bible tells us that without the body, that we are then in spirit. But I can tell you this, anybody that says they can talk to the dead, anybody that tells you that they have experience and they're with ghosts and all those kinds of things, things are not of God. And if they're not of God, there's only one other place they can come from, and that's from Satan. This is why we have got to have such a firm resolve not to allow any of these things into our lives. I shared with you, Katarina and I had gone down to Gettysburg, I think this was last year sometime, and we found an antique store, great big, huge place down there. Loved it, beautiful, got some cufflinks and all this kind of stuff. But as we're walking through, it's like four stories. I mean, the place is huge. We got down into the basement, I remember telling you this, and we found this whole area where they had set up with a table, cameras, lights, and they did medium spirit call times down there with groups. People would come in and pay them to have somebody come in and call these spirits out so that they could see them. Can I tell you, we got out of that basement pretty quick after we were praying. We prayed for pretty hard over it. But I went up to the owners afterwards, and I said, hey, tell me about this town. What do you got doing down there? He said, it's amazing. He said, we are able to document these spirits coming, and people are able to talk to them. We've had manifestations of things taking place. We've even seen things. We've recorded some stuff. He said, it's amazing. He said, but you know, it's okay. He said, because we have this Christian lady that comes and she's there with us. I said, sir, I said, at the risk of really bursting your bubble here, can I caution you that you folks are opening up a door of evil that you do not want to be a part of? He said, no, this lady here, she's Christian. I said, sir, I'm sorry, she's not Christian. She isn't, because if she was, she would know. We don't invite those things into our lives. You could feel, you could sense it. There was just a dark heaviness, coldness about that place. And it was funny because we didn't know what it was. She and I got to the basement and we both kind of looked at each other and went, do you feel that? What is that down here? What's it? Is like the heater not working or what's going on? And then we both turned and saw that area and we went, that's what that is. A physical element of that. You say, well, come on, Pastor Dave, let's not go overboard here. I don't think you can go too much overboard with this. We're talking about the plans of the enemy. We're talking about the destruction of your peace. We're talking about entities and demonic elements coming and influencing a part of your life. You say, well, can a Christian be possessed by a demon? No, I don't believe a Christian can be. But you can certainly be harassed. And you can certainly allow him to have a lot more access to your life than you want. And it's in these times that we need to stand strong, firm, resolute, and saying, I am not going to back down. I don't care what the rest of the world says. I don't care if my neighbors laugh at me. I am not going to welcome those things into my life. And you know, again, the candy and all of those things, that's fine. That's okay. If it is okay. Now, there's some people that would go, no, that's not okay. That's okay. I mean, that's, you need to decide that for yourself, of where your line is with that, because we are all different with that. But I can tell you this, there is no line when we're talking about the things of Satan. There's no line. Now, since we know this, and since we're aware of a little bit of the history and why we need to be concerned, if we don't embrace that, if we don't teach that to our children, what do we need to be concerned about then? Well, here's what I think we need to be worried about. Halloween, at least in our culture, does nothing but glorify death. It is a complete glorification of death. That's what all of the focus is. Death is not God. Death is not a part of God. Death is a result of our sin. That's why death came in. Remember, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, everything was perfect. They were going to live forever in perfection, in communication with God, walking with him face to face. How you doing? I'm doing good. How are you? I'm doing great. I don't know if you get to put your arm around God or not in heaven. I'm probably not. Yeah, the arm would be probably more up here. That's true. I think about stupid stuff like that. I'm sorry. Just bear with me. But we were created. It was when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, decided that they could stand on their own without him, wanted to be independent of him, that death came in. And so the Bible tells us, it says, that's in Genesis 2:16, 17 is where you read about that, the penalty of that sin. Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal death? No, eternal life in him. And death is an enemy of ours. Can we understand that? Death is an enemy of a Christian. God created us in life, in light. That's how he wants us to live our lives. Now, we can't experience that totally until we get to heaven, because sin is a part of our world. We have this flesh nature that is always battling against the things of God. But why would we ever want to embrace something that is completely contrary to the nature of God? And yet when we embrace this time of year just completely and open, whatever, it doesn't matter what we do, we're embracing things that are contrary to him. But see, we have a promise that God is going to deal with death. Now, it's already begun, because the victory over death occurred when Jesus laid in the earth for 3 days, and on the third day, he defeated death, rose from the dead, and at that point on, death has been defeated, once and for all. But that does not mean that we do not have to deal with those things today in this world. Death has been defeated for us as Christians because we have a promise of spending eternity with him, if we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. But the thing that concerns me the most about this time is that when we glorify death, we are glorifying Satan. There's no other way to look at that. Again, you may be going, that's a little overstated, don't you think? How can it be? Death is a result of sin. It is what Satan is and what he wants to bring into our lives. If we glorify the things of death, we glorify the things of Satan. And again, our children are just being so inundated with that. They're being so desensitized to the gore and to the horror and to the death. I mean, all of these things that our children see, the clothes that they wear, the masks and all of the get-ups that they have. If I see one more zombie, it's just, again, you cannot turn on a TV show, you can't look at a movie, and it's zombie, zombie, zombie. Death, death, death. That's what that is. And as Christians, we have got to set ourselves away from those things. And so what do we do? Let me just share these quickly with you, and then I'm done. So what do we do with this? How do we make a difference? How is it that we can separate ourselves from all of those things of death and of all of the ghouls and all of the mediums and all the spirit, all of those kind? How do we do that? Well, here's the first thing. I think we need to educate our children and our grandchildren in the things of the Word and not the things of the world. Educate them in things of the Word. If you don't read with your kids or with your grandkids, can I encourage you to find some time to do that? We've got these children's Bibles. We gave Addie one, and Sophia, we gave her one too. And boy, I tell you, it was so sweet to see her face. She was so tickled to have that. I said, yeah, you got to put your coat on. And she held the Bible in her hand. I said, I like your attitude, but the coat has to go on through the arms there. But just read. There are so many different Bibles today that you can read to children that they can understand, that you begin to pour that into them. It's not too early when they don't even understand some of the words that you're saying. Pour that into them. Just pour it into their hearts. Proverbs 22:6, it says, you train a child. Train a child. Train him. Train her in a way in the things of God, and they won't depart far from it because that word is seated there. Can I tell you that if you have spoken those words over your kids, over your grandkids, that word does not leave. Doesn't matter where they go, what they've done, where they are, that word is still present in their hearts. That's why you stand. That's why you pray for them. That's why you don't give up. Second thing we need to do, we need to guard and protect our children. Folks, sometimes that means saying no. You need to say no. Say, well, everybody, I don't care about everybody else. You know, I think one of the most difficult things that began to take place in families is when the attitude began to come about that we have to be friends with our children. I want my kids to like me. Now, they're adults now. I wanted my children to like me, but that wasn't what parenting decisions should be made on. I'm guessing that when you tell Grayson something that he doesn't want to hear, he probably has a mild reaction to that. Just a little one. Grayson's a good, headstrong boy. But that doesn't change what you do. Can I encourage you folks that you take a stand? Now, you may say, my kids are gone. All I have is grandkids. Then share these things with them. Show them what it is that they're supposed to be doing. Demonstrate for them. So we need to love and guard our children. 1 Corinthians 13, it says that if you love someone, that love protects them. Protect your children. Watch what they're watching on television. Watch the things that they're looking at, the things that they're allowing into their minds and into their hearts, and take the stance of saying no, no, and here's why. Third thing then is that we have to set a good example. We have to set a good example as parents, as grandparents. You cannot tell your children those things are wrong and evil and then sit down every week to watch Long Island Medium. You cannot tell your children the things of the gore and all of those things are wrong if you've got the entire DVD set collection of, you know, Freddy and Friday the 13th and all those other things. There has to be a right demonstration of the things that are right and the things that are wrong. Can I again encourage you, take the stand. Be strong for that. Because again, we're forcing our children to have to deal with things that they're in no position to deal with. I've never understood the whole thing about being scared. I've never seen the draw of that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. I don't know. I was never even a big Frankenstein, Dracula, Mummy, Wolfman, even the original guys, Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi and all those guys. I never understood that. The slasher movies that were so popular back in the 70s, not quite as much now, but the ones that are out are even more horrific. I mean, how can you think of anything worse? What is the mind that's putting those things together? Are those things of God? No, they are not. Why would we want to allow them into our lives? You wouldn't ask your 10-year-old son or daughter to get in the car and drive down to the store to pick up something for you. Why? Because they're not ready. They can't handle that. I want to stay 10 years old in my mind and in my heart my whole life. I want to guard my mind against those things, guard my heart. And here's the last one. We have to use wisdom and discernment. We have to be aware of the things of the enemy. And here's where it gets tough, because he is crafty. He's clever. Our first introduction to Satan is as a serpent. It says the serpent was more clever than all of the other of God's creation. He's still clever. He's not creative, but he's clever. And how is he clever? Because he brings these things into our lives in ways that we would not be able to just automatically see. And I'm going to tell you the one that's been the most successful. And I've already said this before, and you may not like me, but I think you know I love you, and that's why I say it. Because in 7 books and 8 movies that have brought in $7.7 billion through almost all of the first decade of the 2000s, the Harry Potter franchise has brought sorcery and wizardry and all of these kinds of things into lives and into homes that never would have embraced them in any other way. You say, gosh, Pastor Dave, aren't they just kind of cute movies? No, they're not. They're not cute movies. They tell our children that those things are natural and normal. They tell our children that if you don't like somebody, you can do spells over them and to make them do the things you want them to. They tell our children that death is not such a bad thing. It's just a natural part of life. You say, well, wait a minute. Isn't it part of the life process? Yes, but it's not what God is. God is about life, not about death. If you've ever gone to Barnes & Noble recently, look in the area for young people's reading. Look in that section. It is all about vampires. It's all about werewolves. It's all about zombies. It's all about spells and witches and white witches and all of these things making it so acceptable in our lives. My friends, we've got to know what the plans of the enemy are. And it may take you doing something rather drastic. It may take you getting rid of some things in your house that have been there that shouldn't be there. There's a movie out now called Ouija Board. My goodness, even just the show, the part of that they show you is horrific. Ouija boards have been used for generations for Satan to have direct access into people's lives. And we dismiss it as a parlor game. You ever heard of Magic 8-Ball? It's another one. That's divination. The Word of God says, stay away from these things. You say, okay, Pastor Dave, you've hammered us pretty good today on this. We get the impression that you're not real thrilled with all of that. No, I'm not. Kids get dressed up like cowboys and princesses and all those things. That's great. But boy, I tell you, folks, we have got to protect our children. We've got to protect our homes from the plans of the enemy. Death is not about who Jesus Christ is. Jesus says, I came to give you life and to give it to the full. I've come to give you what it is that you need to walk through this life in a way that brings glory to God. Can I encourage you this morning to be someone that takes a stand in your home? Can I encourage you to take a stand in your own life to change some things that you're doing? You say, I went to all those Saw movies. They didn't bother me at all. Oh, my. That's just such nasty stuff. Such nasty stuff. Please, guard your minds. Guard your hearts. Let me read this. Philippians 4:8. If you don't know this verse, you need to write it down somewhere. Because it's exactly what our hearts and our minds should be. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what? Think about these things. That's where our minds, that's where our hearts need to be directed. My friends, I can promise you that if we begin to get serious about these things in our lives, we are going to see changes take place in things that we may have been wrestling with for who knows how long, all because we're just willing to say, God, whatever it is you need to do in my life, do whatever you need. Take me where I need to be. Help me to get rid of what I need to get rid of so that my focus is not on the things of the world, but they're on you. Amen? And then that gets passed on for the generations to come. And now we're building a legacy that's a glory to Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time together today. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I pray, God, that we would begin to just desire more of you. Lord, that every area of my life, the dark places, that they'll be brought into the light. That the places that are in the shadows would be revealed by the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. And Father, I want to be an agent of that in my family and in my home. Father, I come against and I close every access point that Satan has made into the lives of families represented here today in Jesus' name. He no longer has that access point, that we will close that we will not allow him to come in and to bring horror into our lives because of sin, because of darkness. Now, Father, we are not going to be afraid. Your word tells us, don't fear. No fear. Why? Because you are our advocate. You have given us, Father, the ability to stand strong in these times, not because of our strength, but because of yours. And so, Father, I thank you for victory. I thank you, God, for changes in hearts and lives. I thank you and pray blessing over our children and over our grandchildren. Father, we claim these generations for you. We pray, God, that they would be drawn to you and that the plans of the enemy would be revealed and canceled by the power of the blood of Jesus. I pray blessing over each and every person here. And as we leave this place, may we show your love everywhere we go to your glory and to your honor. It's in Jesus' precious name that I pray all of these things. Amen.